Let's turn in the scriptures to Numbers in chapter 15. And Numbers chapter 15. And we are going to be reading verses 1 through 41, the whole chapter. And Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, these are the inerrant, infallible words of the living and true God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit it, which I am giving to you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice, to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or in your appointed feasts, to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd or the flock, then he who presents his offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering of 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. You shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb. Or for a ram, you shall prepare as a grain offering 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And as a drink offering, you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering, or as a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, or as a peace offering to the Lord, then shall be offered with the young bull a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a half a hin of oil. And you shall bring as the drink offering 1/2 a hin of wine as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each young bull, for each ram, and for each lamb or young goat, according to the number that you prepare, so you shall do with every one according to their number. All who are native born shall do these things in this manner, in presenting an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, and would present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly and for the stranger who dwells within you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you." Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it will be, when you eat of the bread of the land, then you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering, as a heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you offer it up. Of the first of your ground meal, you shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generations. If you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it will be, if it is unintentionally committed, without the knowledge of the congregation, that the whole congregation shall offer one young bull as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma to the Lord, with its grain offering and its drink offering according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. For it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. It shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it unintentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, then he shall bring a female goat in its first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally, when he sins unintentionally before the Lord, to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." And those are God's words. It's fitting that this chapter, if you remember, comes sandwiched in between chapters 14 and 16, which gives the an account of Israel's rebellion, a rebellion in chapter 14, and then again a rebellion in chapter 16. And here is the chapter on sacrifices and offerings, which points forward, of course, to our need of Christ because of our sin. He, the final and only sacrifice. And so with Israel's sin, they needed Christ just as much as we do, and his blood shed to atone for their sins of rebellion. And we have through verse 16 the law concerning meat and drink offerings, both for those of Israel and for strangers. We won't go over the different types of sacrifices and what they mean and exactly point to, because we did that already in Exodus when we went through Exodus. But that becomes... all of this becomes more clear after the rebellion of chapter 14 of Israel, when they didn't want to go into the land. And when God said that they won't go into the land now, then they tried to go into the land again and they rebelled again. After that rebellion, we saw God was gracious and merciful to them, or long-suffering. And that's what becomes clear here, that he still has every intention of bringing Israel, not the first generation, but he will bring Israel into the promised land. You see that in verse 2. And then following, he's going over, when you come in to the land. He's implying it, when you come in. And of course, that would be the second generation, but you see his mercy and grace still. He didn't cast them out. He didn't cut them off or excommunicate them. And he gives them sacrifices in his mercy to point to Christ, who covers their sins. And so how merciful and gracious God is to us, who's given us Christ himself. And thankfully, we don't have the sacrifices to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We have Christ himself. And we come before his presence now spiritually, wherever we gather, as John 4 taught us, and through the Samaritan woman. How merciful and gracious he is to us. And then we see through verse 31 the law concerning heave offerings. And the law, if you sin unintentionally or ignorantly, you don't know that you sin. And also the punishment concerning presumptuous sins. And as we think of those unintentional sins, we remember that as God's people, we do that all the time. We sin all the time. And we do it often unintentionally. We don't want to do it. Just like Paul, we hate to do it. And then we don't know that we're doing it. And so here the Lord's showing us just how sin takes many different shapes and forms. From the last chapter, it's open rebellion against God. They just openly rebelled against him, even to now sins that we don't know that we're committing. Sin is sin. And even here he says it's an unintentional sin. It's still sin, though it was unintentional, or you did it in ignorance. Whether you know it or not, still sin, still rebellion against the Lord for God's children, and still need Christ for it. Christ died for that unintentional sin that you committed. It doesn't matter if your intentions were right or Other times you excuse yourself. You come up with excuses for why you did it. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin is death. You remember Uzzah, who we read recently in 1 Chronicles? He did what he thought was good when he put his hand out to save the ark from falling, right? And yet he was struck down destroyed or killed by the Lord trying to do that. Even though Israel and David also sinned in that, the Lord showed mercy to them but struck down Uzzah. God is merciful to us in Jesus Christ. And then through verse 36, we see the instance of the Sabbath breaker. He was gathering sticks. In other words, he was working on the Sabbath day and breaking the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all that you're supposed to. And then the seventh day, the Sabbath day, is the rest, the day of rest to the Lord. He broke the Sabbath day. What happened to the man who broke the Sabbath day? He was stoned to death in accordance with the justice of God. That's how serious it is to break the Sabbath day. And God's people, we keep the Sabbath day holy. We are today to keep the Sabbath day holy. We're going to read about that in Hebrews 4 this evening, where there is, because there is an eternal rest waiting for us, the very next verse he says, therefore there remains today a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Now there is a Sabbath keeping for us today. There's a rest day, and that's the Lord's day today, that we gather 52 times a year. And we rest in the Lord every week. We were just talking about that with I was talking about that with Jeff. How we had hard weeks, a hard week this week, both of us, and I'm very exhausted from what I was doing. And we're thankful that this God gives us still that day of rest. And here's Israel, the last chapter. They want to go back to Egypt where they wanted slavery. They wanted to be in slavery 7 days a week. They want to give up the Sabbath day. And that's what so many people do in our culture today, in the church a lot today. They give up the Sabbath day and they go out and they work on this day. They might go to worship, but then they go out and work. This is a day of rest. And God gives it to us for our good, to worship Him and rest in Him. And then the rest of the passage concerns the law of the fringe on the garments, the tassels that you see, probably something like what the Jewish people wear today. And it shows what that was for the people of Israel then, but not today.
Yeah.
The rest of the passage, it shows it was for a memorial, a remembrance for the Jews in that day to keep all of God's commandments. It should have been a reminder to them as they put it on every day. They wore it around. They should have remembered to keep all of God's commandments and to not play the harlot, the adulteress, or the adulterer, and continue in sin. And so we are, in this chapter, called to put off all of our sin by examining ourselves, to see our sin. And when we see that sin, we are to turn from it unto the Lord, looking to God in Christ for grace and mercy. And to His people, He shows mercy and He shows grace. And we're thankful for that in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give You praise for Your Word. We are thankful that You reveal Yourself to us, not only in the New Testament. You give us all of the Scriptures. That all Scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching and correction and rebuke and training in righteousness, so that we, the men of God, the daughters of God, are equipped for every good work. Father, we ask that You would show that to us continually, and You would continually turn us from our sins, even those sins that we don't know we are committed. Father, reveal those to us in Your mercy and by Your grace, that we might turn from them, even by the strength and the grace of Your Holy Spirit working in us. Father, we are thankful that You have given us Your Son, Jesus Christ, the ultimate and perfect sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, Your justice, that we deserve. We deserve the condemnation and the pains of hell forever, and yet You put those things upon Christ for us as Your people. Of all those who turn to You in faith and receive You and receive the promises, Father, You give them no condemnation because of the sacrifice of Christ. And Father, even this day, the Lord's Day, which is also called the Sabbath day, Father, we have even in this day, we've broken your commandment, the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We have not kept it holy. We have broken it. We have thought about and talked about things we ought not to talk about. We ought to be thinking and talking and even in our actions, living and resting in you, in your word, and talking to one another about your word and how we might grow and how we might look to you even better and how we might turn from our sin. But we focused on our work. We might be anxious about tomorrow, even though we ought to let tomorrow be anxious for itself. And yet, Father, we have probably prepared ourselves today for tomorrow, perhaps, and done some work that we ought not to do. Father, help us in that. And help us give discernment for those things that are necessary for us to do. And even those merciful things that you command us to do, as in evangelizing and helping people in need on this, the Lord's Day. And then, Father, we ask that you would help us in our evangelism to our community. We ask that you would strengthen us for the task, that you would raise up people to serve the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not just serve our congregation or this congregation, but serve your kingdom for the good and the spread of the gospel throughout the world. We pray that you would begin a great work here and that you would grow us, not because we desire more people or for the sake of people, but that you would grow us to show forth your glory, that more people would come in and they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and more people would come in and hear your word and be turned from their sin unto you and be sanctified. And that perhaps even, Lord willing, if it be your will, that we would be able to plant another church. And that by your grace, so Father, we ask that you would help us to make disciples. That you would give us a heart of training others, even those who are not believers today. But in the future, we ask that you would call them to yourself, that you would send your Spirit before us, and you would help and change their hearts, that they would be born again, and then they'd be discipled, and then would be raised up, and that you would even from our congregation raise up missionaries and elders and deacons and pastors and people who are called to do those things, and spread your gospel to all nations. And Father, we ask that you would raise up godly fathers, godly husbands, godly wives and mothers and children who love you and turn to you in faith. And then, Father, we pray for our government. Father, we remember that David failed when they brought up the ark the first time, and that government failed because they brought the ark up on a cart with oxen instead of the priests bringing it up and carrying it as they were called to do. Father, we pray also for our government. We pray that you would cause them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, and that they would believe on him, and they would rule according to his word, and not according to their own thoughts or even what they think will get them reelected by the people. Father, we ask that you would cause governments to rule for our good and for the good of your church, and we know that you will do that because you're on the throne. Even if suffering comes, persecution, Father, grant to us your strength. And remind us of what we learned in Romans 8. Remind us that you are a gracious God, and those who are justified will be glorified. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And to remember that great saying that Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It is gain to go into the presence of Jesus Christ, that we would not fear that, but we would give and sacrifice our lives, have a lives of living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, even if it means suffering. Though, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us for the task and keep us from suffering. Father, we know that if we are faithful, we will suffer. And if we are heirs, we will be persecuted. And so, Father, even now, strengthen us and be preparing us for that time. And in these things, Father, we ask that you would heal the bodies of those who are struggling, physically in their bodies, and then heal those who are struggling spiritually in their souls, who are struggling with sin, habitual sin, or any kinds of sin, even those sins we don't know we're committing. Father, we ask that you would turn us from our sin. As we confess it now, we ask that you would forgive us of our sin, even of breaking the fourth commandment, the remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and that you would be merciful and gracious. And Father, we are thankful for the great promise that we have in Christ, that you cleanse us of all of our sin. Even when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And you've given us the advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, in heaven now, interceding for us, even as our King. And Father, we praise you in all this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.